Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, fans and followers, to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. I'm your host, Layla Smolak. Tune in. I welcome you to share your views on any episode. The number to call is 1-773-897-6223. It is a long-distance call. Velocity Athletic Training Radio is now on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic. Advertise your products and services on Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Visit me at www.advertisecast.com/613. I also want to thank Accelerated Ideas for the great library of free intro music for podcasts. Check them out at www.accelerated-ideas.com. All right, today's show will cover a very important topic, one that many of us believe in and stand up for, a topic which I believe is a growing concern for the survival of the human race. I want to welcome my special guest and friend, Julia Garcia, to discuss the challenges Mother Earth faces. Welcome, Julia. How you doing?
Hi, and thank you for having me.
I am so delighted to have you on the show. I've been wanting you on the show for how long now?
It's been a while, yeah.
And you're Miss Busy Bee.
Yes, I am.
I'm so honored to have you on the show. You come with a wealth of knowledge. So if you don't mind, just sharing with our listeners a bit more about yourself and your background and what you do and how you, you know, do things.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm finally here, yeah. And I'm glad to be here. I am Julia Garcia. I'm also the chief of my tribe. I am called Cacique Caraya Guaili, which means moon child in Taino language. My tribe is the Taino Nation, indigenous people that originated in South America from the Mayans, and they migrated to the Caribbean islands. And when Christopher Columbus made first contact with my people on our island that is now called Puerto Rico, the original name for it was Borinque. And I started my path in healing with medicinal herbs in 1990 and have been using herbs in healing and learning and studying ever since. I've expanded my knowledge to administering the herbs in many different ways to suit people's needs. Herbs are not like general pharmaceutical medicines. You have to match the herb to the person, not the illness. Like if you go to the doctor, they'll give you an antibiotic, which covers a broad span. Herbs don't work that way. You have to match the herb to the person. So I'm currently launching my product line of various herbal medicines, organic skincare products for women, men, children, and even pets. And I'm writing a book on how herbs and spirituality go hand in hand.
Now, do you find that the traditional ways of your tribe, are they still very much intact?
Because you know, are very much intact. Yes, they are. And there's actually a big movement going on now where people are going back to the old ways, to the traditional ways. Not only with health and day-to-day living, but in spirituality as well. And that has been a steady increase throughout the years, and now there's a lot of community awareness as far as who we are, what we are. We are not extinct. We are here. And there is documentation that the Taino people and the Taino Nation are still here. We're not extinct.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, that's very good news, you know, for you and your roots. Did you start off in this path?
No,
like,
I started out. It's funny because I started out on what is called a pagan path, and the term pagan itself is a general term used to explain or used as a spiritual path other than mainstream religion, like Christianity, Judaism, or Catholicism. Paganism is any spiritual path that is not part of the mainstream religion. Being indigenous falls under that broad term. Spirituality and religion are two separate different things. They're different paths. I follow the path of my ancestors, spirituality, which is not religion, and I want to make it very clear, I am not saying that religion is bad, nor am I speaking ill of any religion of itself. I'm speaking of my path and what works for me. My ancestors, the belief, the culture, the way of being, that's what I connect with, and that's what I do, and that's who I am. I'm connected to Mother Earth. That is our belief, that we're connected to Mother Earth, to the animals, to the universe, to each other as a human race. This is my belief, not, you know, something that like religion would teach. There's differences in religion, and there's nothing wrong with religion. It's just what works for me. And then I do believe that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. Many people see it the other way around. And for me, I'm a spiritual being. I came here as a spiritual being to experience humanity.
So would you say that the spirit houses the body as opposed to the other way around?
Definitely. See, for me, this again, from my point of view and my path, the spirit enters the body, houses the body. The body doesn't house the spirit because a body is just flesh and bones. A spirit is the energy, it's the essence, it's the core of the person, and you're here to learn, to experience, and to grow. That's why we come, to come and experience humanity. The spirit houses the body. It's not the other way around. The body does not exist first and then goes and finds the spirit. No, the spirit comes into a body. Thus, we are born into humanity.
That's quite interesting, and I strongly believe that as well, that, you know, we're just a vessel on this plane,
right.
and this vessel, and I've been with First Nations, Indigenous people, where we did healing circles, and, you know, I've learned so much about this idea of, you know, we are a vessel. Whatever energy we bring in, it's just an energy that's working through this vessel, and it's quite interesting when you look at it in that perspective. Now, just going back a bit about the tribe, what does it actually stand for? I mean, most Indigenous tribes stand for the earth and all that, and working within the environment. Does the tribe do what? Is the tribe very active with environmental? You know, Mother Earth is so precious. You know, it's so precious.
It's definitely very. Yes, it is. We need Mother Earth to exist. Mother Earth does not need us. Our tribe stands for peace.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
That's such an interesting comment you just made.
Yes, it's true.
I love
people
that.
People exist without us.
Yeah. So sorry, go on. Keep talking.
No, it's okay. Our tribe stands for peace, for love, acceptance of each other as we are, not what we think we should be from status, color, gender, as we are, human beings, spiritual beings having a human experience. We stand for respect of each other as individual spiritual beings. We stand for Mother Earth, our environment, our children's future and the future of Mother Earth. We stand for sustainable living. We stand for Creator. We believe that Creator sends us here as the spiritual beings that we are to learn and to grow and to take care of the earth. We are connected to the earth to keep these traditions, and they're not traditions, these ways of life alive, and to educate people that without Gaia, we cannot exist. We are destroying Gaia, Mother Earth. Without her, there is nothing. We cannot pollute the air. We cannot pollute our water. We cannot pollute our lands. We will have nothing to live on, no air to breathe, no land to build our homes, to build up, to grow our crops, our animals to feed them. It's a cycle. It's a domino effect. We're connected to each other. Everything we do affects each other and this planet that is alive, that it's a being with.
What challenges, or let's backtrack. I mean, the times have obviously changed from, you know, the earlier days of your tribe where, you know, life was much more simple. I personally think we're more connected to the earth, to Mother Earth back then.
Right.
But what changes over the years or over the generations, and it's so dominant in the media, you know, with these pipelines and all that.
But number one issue, yes.
What other changes? I mean, you guys are really the ones that can tell those cycles because you pay attention to Mother Earth the most. You know, most of us are advocates for Mother Earth. But truly and honestly, you know the history a lot more than anybody else. So what changes from the first generation to this day and age?
Yes, there's a lot of changes. Deforestation, for one. If you destroy the herbs and the plants that we rely on for medicine, for healing, for health, then what are you going to have to replace it? The pipeline known as the Black Snake to the indigenous world is destroying everything. To put it in, you have to clear ground, just like when it comes to industrialism, when they're building houses and communities and cities, you're destroying the earth. You're not replacing anything. The pipeline not only destroys but never replaces. Every single pipeline leaks. The poison that is running through those pipes causes decay to the pipes itself, which will cause the leaks and explosions. They're tapping into the veins of Mother Earth. And they're weakening her. They're destroying her. And you can see the difference with there's no fireflies, there's no butterflies, animal extinction, mutations, the pollution to the water, no fish. You can't drink. Look at what's happening in Flint, Michigan. You can't drink the water there. People have been suffering from diseases from all the poison in the water. They have lead poisoning. They have heavy metal poisoning. People and babies are being born ill and dying because of the poisons and the toxins in the water. This goes into the air. The animals and humanity, we're all breathing it. It goes into our food. We're eating it. The chemicals like deodorant, they have even pharmaceutical companies and these big cosmetic companies, they're putting poison in things like deodorant, lotions, toothpaste. Look at the label warnings. It says, do not swallow in case of an accidental ingestion, call poison control. Well, why would you need to call poison control just from brushing your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something to think about.
What roles is the tribe playing in its plight to save Mother Earth?
We are bringing awareness. We do different activities and events such as drumming in the park to draw attention to, look what we're doing to this planet. It has to stop. We have outreach programs where we go to different schools, like middle schools and high schools and universities. We also protest, and we also go against, like, the Department of Environmental Protection Services. They had an open session night where you can go and express your opinion regarding the pipeline. You know, and we have a lot of media coverage and Facebook, a lot of networking with other groups as well that are not necessarily indigenous, but they're activists wanting to save and preserve Mother Earth. And we're also involved with different things as far as powwows. Any chance we get, any source of media that we can use to put the word out, look what we're doing. Look at the ozone layer. Look at climate change. It's real. People say it's not. Well, there's a lot of animals and butterflies and bees. There's a shortage. You hear about it all the time. The honeybees are endangered.
I completely agree with you.
It's endangered. That's the effect of the pollution and the damage that we're doing to Mother Earth. It's everywhere you look. People, oh, use sunblock because, you know, the sun, the radiation, the heat is too much. You can get cancer, on skin cancer. Why is that? Emissions from vehicles and machinery and factories. This is why it's happening. And then to the icing on the cake, which I cannot fathom and wrap my mind around, is these cosmetic companies using these chemicals like paraben in deodorant. Why do women get breast cancer? Because there's paraben in the deodorant. Look at the ingredients. Look at the ingredients, Google them, research them. Look at the side effects. It's in there. It causes cancer.
Now, I know you do a product line.
Yes.
And they look amazing. You emailed me some beautiful soaps.
Thank
they almost
you.
Look edible.
You know, some people have actually tried to eat the soaps. I can't believe it. I'm telling them it's soap. Don't eat it. It's soap.
I love all the colors in them. Like, can you please share with us obviously I can understand what led you to begin making the soaps. So share some of the ingredients you use and what led you to actually put it into motion.
What led to it was my husband got sick. He started getting sick, and I was looking for an alternative because I'm also in the health field and as a profession, and I was looking for alternatives to help him improve himself, to get better, and to give his immune system a chance to be strong enough to fight any illnesses. Well, one thing led to another, and I started making soaps, and I started looking at the ingredients of everything that's in the house, all the toxins that I had, and started to look for alternatives. And with my indigenous background, my go-to everything is herbs and essential oils. So I use calendula flowers, which I grow myself. The herbs that I use, I grow. In order to extract the color, the essential oils, which I also distill myself, everything natural possible that I can use to go into my product, that's what I use. So I was looking, I compared a bar soap from the store that I had bought for my husband and one that I made. And you know how sometimes when you take a shower and you're kind of itchy, your skin is dry? That's because the chemicals, the chemicals in the soap is not cleansing or conditioning. It's going to make you dry. It can cause premature wrinkles, which, you know, premature aging. Who wants to do that? So I started to make something for him. And I made a soap that was moisturizing and conditioning to his skin. And he loved it, and he started talking about it to his friends and his family, and they wanted some. So I'll make an aloe soap, which I have aloe plants, so I extract the aloe from my plants. The coloring, I'll use the colors from the plants. I infuse the plants in oil to extract the color to use it for my soaps. Everything that I use in my soaps is all natural. I use banana, I use oatmeal, I use cinnamon, I use nutmeg. It depends on what kind of soap I'm making. But I make soaps with goat's milk. I use buttermilk. I use rice milk that I make myself. And coconut milk, coconut oils, organic products that are certifiable organic and sustainably grown so that I can put this in my product to give people the best product possible. A lot of homemade soaps seem to be much more expensive. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to educate people. These herbs
work. Well,
that's
a wonderful way. That's a beautiful way to educate people.
Yes, exactly. Like my calendula. Calendula flowers are beautiful, and they also help attract butterflies and hummingbirds. So as I'm growing it in my garden, it has a purpose, not only for the products that I use, but for the animals, you know, the butterflies, to attract them, because they're becoming endangered. There's not a lot of monarch butterflies left. And there are all these little, beautiful little bugs and butterflies, anything, animals, they're all part of the circle of life. And when when there's an imbalance, there's a big issue. Like you'll see now, this big problem in the summertime with ticks and fleas, because the winter was not as cold and it wasn't a normal winter to kill off the population of ticks, and then people get Lyme disease. Herbs can help heal without a side effect. You know, and calendula is awesome for your skin. And I grow calendula and then I put it in my soaps and body butters. I also do bath salts and just a whole bunch of different products for your skin, like bug repellent. That's better than poisoning yourself.
Exactly. And I just love that concept and all the ingredients. Like I said, it sounds so edible.
Basically, individually it is.
Yeah. Like, geez, it sounds like a nice salad.
Yeah, it does, doesn't
it? It's great that you're recycling, you know, you're planting your own garden, you're respecting Mother Earth, you're not spraying the chemicals that, you know, are out there. I'm on the east coast of Canada right now, and I'm telling you, when you say, you know, how you cleanse yourself and you get itchy after, oh my gosh, I don't know if it's the soap, because I don't use anything that's, pardon me, got chemicals in it. I think it's the water, to tell you the truth, because when I'm on the west coast, I don't get that itchy feeling. You know, it's bizarre, but do you find, just to back up, where can anybody that's interested in buying your soaps or any of your products, do you have a website or a Facebook page?
I have
page?
One on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook page, yes, right now, because I started out small. Like I said, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to educate people. And I do have a Facebook page. It's called Moonchild's Magical Moment. And there's the soaps listed there are there for different skin types. Not everyone has the skin type the same. Some people have eczema. Some people suffer from dry skin. Some people suffer from excessive oily skin, or they have spots, which calendula soap would be wonderful for that. There's soaps like for sunburns and other like acne issues. So each soap does something different. And you just look at different varieties of the soaps and what issue you have on your skin. And if you don't have any issues on your skin, that's great, because I have general soaps. I have vegan soaps as well that I make.
Mm-hmm. Okay. excuse me. With everything that we've discussed in terms of, you know, the challenges that Mother Earth is facing in this day and age, and, you know, with the amount of... resistance to how, you know, our governments, whether you're in the U.S. or in Canada, are dealing with how they're trying to, you know, protect our precious environment. Do you think they're actually listening? Do you ever feel that, you know, okay, we've got people that are concerned about the air that they're breathing and the water that they're drinking? Do you think over all these, you know, these years, that there's any positive cooperation from them?
No, because the state of what's going on with the United States alone, you have no choice but to listen. Standing Rock, perfect example. Flint, look what's happening. These people are dying. They're dying. The children are born sick and then die if they're born at all. Is that not, what is it going to take to wake everybody up? yes, people are starting to become more aware, because along with indigenous groups, there's the activists that are putting the word out there, and there are people in our government that really want to make a change, make a difference. They want to improve and preserve what we have. I live in Conestoga, Pennsylvania. There is a pipeline that it's a gas pipeline that we're fighting right now. And I cannot believe that they actually think that this is going to make our community better. First, you know, they lie so much. First of all, they're saying that it's going to improve the local economy by offering more jobs. There's not one local person from Conestoga that is working on that pipeline. They're all from out of state. You know, it's like even the workers themselves are aware of the damage they're doing. They're very much aware. We've talked to several of them. They know you're destroying the earth. But the line, I'm just doing my job, I've got to feed my children, well, we're trying to save the earth so that your children can have a future.
Exactly.
What about that?
Exactly. I completely agree with that, because there is a few, you know, we do have future generations that will be having to deal with the messes of what's going on today. Is there any thoughts that you would share with us today that we can sort of take away and sort of reflect on? I think that this is a very important topic, and I would like listeners to sort of leave with something to ponder.
Definitely.
Is there anything?
Everybody says, well, what can I do? Oh, I am not going to go out there and protest. I don't want to get arrested. They see the violence. The media doesn't always report the truth anyway. So as an individual in your own house, look at your products. Look at what you're buying. Look at the poison that you are using on a daily basis, not just for yourself, but for your kids. Research. Educate yourself. And look for an alternative, something that's more natural. There's a lot of different recipes online that you can use to make household products, like your own laundry detergent. I make thieves oil to clean my house with. Thieves oil saved these thieves during the bubonic plague in Europe way back when it came out. What is thieves oil? It's rosemary, eucalyptus, orange, you know, these natural herbs put together that you can boil and use it. There's cinnamon also in it. The ingredients are online, but you boil it in regular water and strain it, and now you have a great-smelling, all-natural, antibacterial, antifungal home cleanser that is safe for you, your children, and your pets. How many times are you using products that you have to open the windows, because if you breathe it in, it can cause damage?
Oh, my goodness. That's so true.
Just to clean
right
your house.
Okay, so we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I would love to have you back on here again. I'm sure there will be another discussion that we can think of to share with the world, basically. So once again, just share your Facebook page.
It's called Moonchild Magical Moments. I'd be more than happy to have people just ask me questions. I'll give you an honest answer, and if I don't know, I'll let you know. I don't know, you know, and I'll look it up and get back with you.
And Julia is definitely one of those people that will get back to you and answer your questions. All right, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much, and we will touch base again.
All right. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.